This lesson is for Sunday, December 21st, 2025. Subject: Is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force? Golden Text, Jeremiah. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Responsive reading, Job. Behold, God exalted by his power. Who teacheth like him? Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The Bible. Psalm. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Joshua. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now it came to pass, when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. Wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Poham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment, and in plenty of justice he will not afflict. Luke. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Psalm. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Amos. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I will now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Scripture informs us that with God all things are possible. All good is possible to spirit. Science reveals the possibility of achieving all good and sets mortals at work to discover what God has already done. Christian Science explains all cause and effect as mental, not physical. It lifts the veil of mystery from soul and body. It shows the scientific relation of man to God, disentangles the interlaced ambiguities of being, and sets free the imprisoned thought. In divine science, the universe, including man, is spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. The creative principle, life, truth, and love, is God. The universe reflects God. There is but one creator and one creation. This creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected. In the universe of truth, matter is unknown. No supposition of error enters there. Divine science, the word of God, sets to the darkness upon the face of error. God is all in all, and the light of ever-present love illumines the universe, hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's ideas, reflecting him in countless spiritual forms. Mind, supreme over all its formations and governing them all, is the central sun of its own system of ideas, the life and light of all its own vast creation, and man is tributary to divine mind. The world would collapse without mind, without the intelligence which holds the winds in its grasp. Neither philosophy nor skepticism can hinder the march of the science which reveals the supremacy of mind. The immanent sense of mind power enhances the glory of mind. Nearness, not distance, lends enchantment to this view. The compounded minerals or aggregated substances composing the earth, the relations which constituent masses hold to each other, the magnitudes, distances, and revolutions of the celestial bodies are of no real importance when we remember that they all must give place to the spiritual fact by the translation of man and the universe back into spirit. In proportion as this is done, man and the universe will be found harmonious and eternal. Material substances or mundane formations, astronomical calculations, and all the paraphernalia of speculative theories based on the hypothesis of material law or life and intelligence resident in matter will ultimately vanish, swallowed up in the infinite calculus of spirit. The earth's motion and position are sustained by mind alone. There is but one real attraction, that of spirit. The pointing of the needle to the pole symbolizes this all-embracing power or the attraction of God, divine mind. The planets have no more power over man than over his maker, since God governs the universe, but man, reflecting God's power, has dominion over all the earth and its hosts. The plant grows not because of seed or soil, but because growth is the eternal mandate of mind. Mortal thought drops into the ground, but the immortal creating thought is from above, not from beneath. Because mind makes all, there is nothing left to be made by a lower power. Spirit acts through the science of mind, never causing man to till the ground, but making him superior to the soil. Knowledge of this lifts man above the sod, above earth and its environments, to conscious spiritual harmony and eternal being. If we pray to God as a corporeal person, this will prevent us from relinquishing the human doubts and fears which attend such a belief, and so we cannot grasp the wonders wrought by infinite incorporeal love to whom all things are possible. The miracle introduces no disorder, but unfolds the primal order, establishing the science of God's unchangeable law. Spiritual evolution alone is worthy of the exercise of divine power. In Egypt, it was mind which saved the Israelites from belief in the plagues. In the wilderness, streams flowed from the rock and manna fell from the sky. The Israelites looked upon the brazen serpent and straightway believed that they were healed of the poisonous stings of vipers. In national prosperity, miracles attended the successes of the Hebrews. But when they departed from the true idea, their demoralization began. Even in captivity among foreign nations, the divine principle wrought wonders for the people of God in the fiery furnace and in kings' palaces. The material so-called gases and forces are counterfeits of the spiritual forces of divine mind, whose potency is truth, whose attraction is love, whose adhesion and cohesion are life, perpetuating the eternal facts of being. Electricity is the sharp surplus of materiality, which counterfeits the true essence of spirituality or truth. The great difference being that electricity is not intelligent, while spiritual truth is mind. There is no vapid fury of mortal mind expressed in earthquake, wind, wave, lightning, fire, bestial ferocity, and this so-called mind is self-destroyed. The manifestations of evil, which counterfeit divine justice, are called in the scriptures the anger of the Lord. In reality, they show the self-destruction of error, or matter, and point to matter's opposite, the strength and permanency of spirit. Christian Science brings to light truth and its supremacy, universal harmony, the entireness of God good, and the nothingness of evil. Sometime we shall learn how spirit, the great architect, has created men and women in science. Christian Science presents unfoldment, not accretion. It manifests no material growth from molecule to mind, but an impartation of the divine mind to man and the universe. All that is made is the work of God, and all is good. The harmony and immortality of man are intact. We should look away from the opposite supposition that man is created materially and turn our gaze to the spiritual record of creation, to that which should be engraved on the understanding and heart with the point of a diamond and the pen of an angel. Here now are our three daily duties by Mary Baker Eddy as given in the church manual. Daily prayer. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to pray each day, Thy kingdom come. Let the reign of divine truth, life and love be established in me, and rule out of me all sin. And may thy word enrich the affections of all mankind and govern them. A rule for motives and acts. Neither animosity nor mere personal attachment should impel the motives or acts of the members of the Mother Church. In science, divine love alone governs man, and a Christian Scientist reflects the sweet amenities of love in rebuking sin, in true brotherliness, charitableness, and forgiveness. The members of this church should daily watch and pray to be delivered from all evil, from prophesying, judging, condemning, counseling, influencing, or being influenced erroneously. Alertness to duty. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to defend himself daily against aggressive mental suggestion, and not be made to forget, nor to neglect his duty to God, to his leader, and to mankind. By his works, he shall be judged, and justified, or condemned. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, page 442. Christian Scientist, be a law to yourselves that mental malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake. Thank you for listening, and let some truth from the lesson help you make it a great day. You may visit our website, plainfieldcs.com, for more information. These selections are from the King James Version of the Bible and the Christian Science Textbook 1910 edition by Mary Baker Eddy.